I'd like for you to know that I am going to very deeply miss Duane Grandry. I think it's interesting also that not only committed to the Lord, committed to the sacrament, committed to God's word, committed to worship without fail every Sunday, I add the footnote to what Pastor Doug was saying. If you had any way of knowing how much Dick Irving would want to be in church every given Sunday the last 5 months, and how thankful they are to be able to be here today. And I can't begin to tell you how it grieves me when the so-called inactive Christians, not that there is any such thing, but when those people that feel no need to praise God or no need to serve him, how pitiful that is, and how common that is across America. Among other things, Duane was a very committed giver. Both Douglas and I agree on that. You can tell by the standard of living. You can see how God is blessing people. It's not a trick. It's not difficult. At Our Shepherd, we have about 5% of the membership that are quite wealthy. And that would mean about 10 families. About 10 families. We have over 200 families. About 5% of them are quite wealthy. The majority of them, there's one exception. One of those families is very strong in their giving and very committed to the Lord and very sacrificial. They don't have to wonder who it is. They know because I've talked to them. The other 9 are dead wood. Dead wood. They literally are. We wouldn't miss them if they left. Because it's just like the Word of God says, they don't know how to give. After the pledges last Sunday morning, Douglas went through them, and I just had to smile because he's very much like I was back in the years when I did that. He's unique. On those that he immediately, man, God, this family is growing. Man, God, praise you for this family. He drew a little smiley face. Nobody sees those except the financial secretary, so it's not public, but he drew a little smiley face, 2 eyeballs and a smile. On each card where he and I could praise God and say, look, they're growing. Look, there's maturity here. There's commitment here. And three names came to me immediately, 3 men. I walked into Doug's office. I said, you know, Doug, what do you think of? Bing, bing, bing. I named 3 names. He said, yeah, it's pretty sad, isn't it? I said, yeah, it's worse than sad. It's maddening. It's totally, totally. He said, Dad, you're going to have to let loose of it. It's going to depress you. And I said, I know. I've been dealing with some of these people for over a decade. They don't listen. They don't hear. They don't change. They don't grow. There's no spiritual life there. Well, that's all I'm going to say. I hope those people, sometime God, you know, how does God ever reach people like that? Maybe he never does. I don't know. Anyway, 5% of the parish, about 20% of the parish, that would be about 40 families, are really having a tough time. Especially if they have kids. You want to know what I'm talking about in terms of gross income there? About 40,000. About 40,000 gross income before taxes. Those people are having a tough, rough time. Especially with kids. A high school, parochial school, thousands of dollars can be blown in on kids. They are a blessing of God, but man, they cost money. Those people are struggling. Last night we had one of those people in the parish. I knew it, and so I made a point to say what I'm going to say here. Each year we say, if you're in need, we have a love fund here at Our Shepherd. It's not to help people start business. It's not to keep having them buy more insurance and stuff. It's to help where there's a need. You let us know, we can help. And we have, over the years, spent thousands of dollars helping people that God, for whatever reason, did not bless too well financially. They have blessings other ways. One of the finest blessed women in this parish that I'd like to share, it doesn't always have to be financial, has had kind of a little gloom, a cloud of gloom, a little, you know, not quite joyful for quite a while. That person has shared with me several times already in the last several weeks. I said, I notice a change in you. There's a change. I'm happy. And she shocked herself because she knew she was happy, and that's not normal. And she turned everything over to God. All the problems, all the needs, all the discouragement has been turned over to God. And God has given her joy. And she was kind of shocked herself. You know, I'm really pretty happy. What a blessing. Man, what a blessing. To feel good, to feel happy. One of the things I've noticed, and this is biblical, of course, again, Our widows. They are great givers. There's not a widow in our church that is not a great giver. Isn't that quite a statement? Let me go back to those 40 families that really can't do a whole lot for the Lord because they're not being blessed financially. They have problems. They have needs. Two members of the parish lost their jobs again this past week. That's tough. That's rough. So where is this growth that Pastor Doug talked about? Where is the celebration that we are saying to God, thank you, God, we sing a doxology to your glory? Where is it coming from? It's not coming from the wealthy. It's coming from that middle group, about 80% of our parish. And you know what God has been doing the last several years? The last two or three years I've shared with the entire parish the history, and their names are now public and with their permission. The Schenkes were the average lousy giver that every congregation has, very typical. They were giving less than $100 a week, blowing everything in on themselves. They had a change of heart 15 years ago during a stewardship period, and they both were weeping. I told you the story four or five times, and they decided to up their commitment to the Lord by $100 a week, an enormous doubling what they had been trying to give. And within one day, within 24 hours, God gave to them increases of income of over $5,000 in their lives. And they were shocked. We never knew God would do things this way. Second year, they upped it $100 a week. Third year, they upped it $100 per week. Fourth year, they upped it $100 per week. They've been doing this for over a dozen years. Each year, God immediately gives them more income. I don't want to sound funny about this, but I repeat again, it's not always a financial blessing, but in their case, it is. This year, their weekly gift is well over $1,000 per week. That's $50,000 offerings to the Lord. Because of them and their story, we now have four young couples with kids. It's quite different when you have kids. I've said that several times. We understand that. But we have four families now. Two of them are giving $500 a week in their pledge next year. One of them $600 a week. Another one $700 a week. Sylvia and I are struggling. We're trying to get up there. We're over $600 a week this year. Those are major commitments, and we're growing because of it. It is fantastic what God is doing in the lives of those people. I love to celebrate and to tell God's people how faithful God is. There's another group in our parish whose husbands are not members. We have about 40 women in the parish whose husbands do not come to church, do not worship, in a few cases are Roman Catholic, go to their own church, but in most cases are not only not committed to the Lord, but are probably, in most cases, not believers. Last Sunday morning, one of those women was sitting here, very committed to the Lord. Her husband doesn't give her a dime for church work or anything else. By the way, I had another lady here in the parish. I say this for the benefit of all the women of the parish whose husbands put you on allowances. You know, maybe you don't work, don't make your own money and so on. Does your husband give you allowance? I had a phone call. Pastor Paul, just an opinion. Would you please give me opinion? My husband gives me an allowance. And he gets very, very angry. I'm afraid of his anger. And it's real because there's a hole. I'm looking at a hole in the wall where he put his fist through. And I'm just kind of afraid. And she said, would you tell me so that I can tell him whether or not $5 a week allowance is enough for a wife? I'm not even going to tell you what I give Sylvia. But I did tell Sylvia this story. I want her to be a little more grateful. That okay, honey? I gave her more than $5 a week. Okay, this lady is sitting in church ready to pray, ready to pledge last Sunday. She already, from her income, not a high income, gave $200 a week. That's $10,000. Very committed. Very sacrificial, way over tithing, way over tithing. As she was sitting there Sunday morning, she said, I've got to do more for the Lord. I've got to do more for the Lord. She decided to go up another 15%. As she was calculating, that meant another $100 a week. She was going to commit herself for another $5,000 a year. Now, are you ready for this? Has the pastor been saying God will keep his promises? He will bless you. I've said over and over again, it doesn't have to be financial, but it's interesting to me that very often it is. I've told you that too. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Are you ready for this? Tuesday morning, she arrives at work. Now, she committed herself for another $5,000. By the way, people that pledge this way almost always meet it because they're committed. They're not just playing with figures. They're not playing a game. Tuesday morning, this woman gets to work. She receives the annual bonus. Are you ready for this? $25,000. How many of you are getting a bonus like that this year? Is it pretty common today, 2010? I don't think it's even heard of. But God keeps his word. This woman committed herself for $5,000. Within 2 days, God gave her back $25,000. Now, some of you don't believe that, do you? I can give you her name. She'll talk to you. She'll explain what God's doing in her life. I just want to praise Almighty God. He keeps his word. And the reason this parish is going ahead and becoming very, very happy with the mission God has given us is that we have within our midst those who trust him and believe in him and mean it sincerely. We should be spending the entire morning singing doxologies to God. It is so fantastically important that we praise Almighty God. Praise Almighty God. We ought to take 30 minutes to just praise Almighty God. If this Holy Spirit could spread among us to where those that are uncommitted and unfaithful, to where they could catch a hold. Do you have any idea what could happen if over 200 families would all of a sudden catch fire? It would be such an explosion and such a miracle, the world would never hear. But I agree with John Wesley. John Wesley said before he died, the world has not yet seen what could happen if one man would devote his entire life to the love of God. We haven't seen that yet. We all have such sin. We all have such drawbacks. We all fail to grow enough. He said when he died, he said, the world has not yet seen what God could do with one man that gave himself entirely to the Lord. We've seen a few examples. We've seen some Billy Grahams. We've seen some Mother Teresa's. But if the church, the Christian church, what would God like to be saying to the Christian church in America today? No nation has ever survived when it has gone against God the way America has, with abortion, with divorce, with pornography, with alcoholism, with you name it. What are our immoralities are so huge. As a nation, God hasn't ever left in the history of the world any nation survive that has defied him. He's destroyed them. Is this what's happening in America today? Are we going under? The Christian church had better wake up. On the back of your worship folder, there's a text from Matthew 3. Matthew 3. John the Baptist. You know, some people that we have to thank, when you go over to the library this morning, make sure you thank Ted and Marcia Boyer. The two of them have put in over 1,000 hours. 1,000 hours. A lot of you have contributed. We know this. We have the list. 30 hours, 20 hours, 15 hours here and there, 20 hours, 30 hours. A lot of you have helped. Thank God for your help. But the two of them have put in over 1,000 hours cataloging over 5,500 books over there for you to study and get to know God better and to help with your Bible studies and your letter writing, whatever. It's a marvelous resource. So make sure you thank the two of them. I was going to point out this back here. I think this is probably one of the most meaningful rear dosses that we've had for a long time. They're all beautiful. How many of you know Brian Strzok? Hold up your hand if you know Brian. Yeah. Okay, that's maybe a third of you. The rest of you, get to know him. We need to thank that young man. He's not getting paid a dime for this. All year long, he draws these things out and makes them for us. This is the moon up here. I have seen the moon like that in Israel in broad daylight, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I've seen the moon, full moon like this, in the sky. And in the background, the sun beginning to come up at daybreak that day. This is what John the Baptist preached. He said, the night is far gone. The night is far gone. The day is at hand, meaning the day of the Lord, judgment day. We don't have long yet. For Dwayne, he's there now. He went yesterday. He's there now. He's got the victory. He's got the joy. Certainly, I, with heart trouble, recognize it's a day-by-day thing for all of us. The day is at hand. It's coming. It's here. It's ready to dawn. We're going to try to get bookmarks of this made. I think we can reduce this and so on. We'll find out. We want everyone to have that. I think it's so meaningful, a day-by-day reminder. Hey, today you're here. Tomorrow you can be there. It's that fast. The darkness that covers us, the sinful world, the day is at hand. There's a brighter time coming, a more joyful time coming. Douglas was exactly right when he said to the widow this morning, what a joy your husband has before the throne of God. What a joy. Remember that joy. Celebrate that joy. That's what it's all about. Now, for 400 years, now, I realized this morning when I say 400 of years, that can be misunderstood because I could be talking 400 of years. I'm saying the numeral four. 400 years, there'd been no prophets. From the last prophet of the Old Testament, it had been 400 years since the children of Israel had heard from a prophet of God. Just imagine that. What do you suppose happened? Everything went. The church was pathetic. And then God sends John the Baptist. The prophets were always warning the people. The people had no warning. No one told him, you better shape up. No one said, you better repent. No one said, you better grow. And all of a sudden, John the Baptist shows up. Now, the congregation to which he preached, listen now carefully, the Sadducees and the Pharisees all came out, and his word to them was, what did he say? Who warned you? John was a little disappointed. He said, look at these heathen people coming to me. And they were the church people. You understand? The organized, they were the ones that ran the church. Just think of this. And now John the Baptist is preaching. Who warned you guys? You want to be baptized? Well, who told you? Did someone say something's going to happen? Is there something eternal going on here? And then he says, your fruits don't prove your faith. By their fruits, you'll know them. By what they do. We've been talking about that all morning already. But what you do, how you act, that'll indicate where you are with God. And so he begins to preach. On the back of your worship folder, toward the end of Matthew 3, he gives two illustrations. They are both so beautiful and so simple and so clear. The first is, he said, picture an orchard of fruit trees and an axe is in the hand of the guy in charge of the garden. And he takes the axe to the roots of the tree and he looks. This is a pear tree. Are there any pears? This is a plum tree. Are there any plums? And the minute I said that in the morning service, it struck something in my heart. Forgive me, Sylvia. Sylvia and I are on our way to Florida on our honeymoon. We honeymooned in Daytona. And in those days, I seemed very intelligent to Sylvia. She'd ask me a lot of questions. She knew I knew certain things about life. And we're going past this field, and there's a little field of dwarf trees, fruit trees, little dwarf trees, foot or two high. And, of course, all the other, I was telling her which different fruit trees are. Paul, what is that field? I said, honey, those are raisin trees. And she sat there a while, and finally she said, you know, Paul, I thought raisins were dried grapes. Oh, I said, sure, the artificial raisins are dried grapes. But the real raisins, they grow on raisin trees. I think I had her going for almost 2 days there. At any rate, plum trees, does it have any plums? Pear trees, any pears here? Read what it says. If there is no fruit, he cuts the tree down. Cuts it down and burns it. There's no production there. There's no life there. Now, the second illustration coming down to the end of the text there is the winnowing fork. Winnowing fork. Man, I'm losing weight. By the way, have you noticed that? I've lost another 3 pounds. Winnowing fork.
And the very Kelly Werner, for 6 years, have lived under a burden for their daughter, Rebecca. They call her Becca. And when Becca was born, within one day, they knew there was a major heart issue with the child. So they were told that Becca would need surgery, and over the course of the weeks, they were trying to get a handle on when she would need this surgery. They figured, I think at first she was too young, and they were saying that it would have to be as she got a little bit older, so they were waiting for this time. And it kept getting delayed and delayed. It's not quite the proper time yet, not quite the proper time. So for years, for 6 years now, they've been waiting, wondering, trying to make a godly decision on when this child might need surgery. Well, this week they finally received the good news that this deterioration of the heart that would prompt the surgery does not seem to be happening. And they've continuously prayed over her and given her to the Lord and asked God to intervene in this. And so now the imminent surgery status has been removed, and they're now to a more watch and see, and hopefully now the new hope is not when to have surgery to fix this issue, but perhaps never have surgery. So that's a phenomenal shift, and they're right here, and they're very grateful to the Lord.
Their daughter's heart.
Yes.
God's healing. And let's just kind of close with, you know, the bottom line is check yourself out. Are you productive? Are you growing? Are you in an intense relationship with Jesus Christ? Is the whole thing meaningful to you? Are you waiting for his return? And I'll tell you, Douglas, having heart trouble, I'm the next Dwayne. Anyone with heart trouble can go any day. We all know that, but that's true of everybody if you understand what God's Word is talking about here. Let's rejoice and celebrate what God has enabled. I'm so happy with your report, Douglas. We're moving ahead. May you respond to God joyfully and serve the Lord. We're so grateful to see Jane and Dick here. All these reasons, and now this little Werner's daughter. Is she here?
Yeah.
Who? Wave your hand, honey.
Echo.
Wave your hand in there. We thank God for you, too. We're going to say a prayer to God now. Let's thank him. Let's stand and just rejoice in what God is doing.
Okay. Praise God from whom